Is the camera ready?
Hello everybody and welcome to the Filipino Freethinkers podcast that's also a video. I'm Red.
And I'm Pepe.
And as always, we're going to be talking about two things, Bitcoin and Gravity, the movie. So let's start with Gravity then. Did you like the movie?
I really liked the movie. I find that it's a very... They put so much effort into the movie. I found out after the fact that they used many different robots.
They shot it in space, right?
Almost.
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 Okay. So they didn't shoot it in space?
No, they didn't.
But how did they do that? Like, tell us a bit about the making of Gravity.
Well, for one thing... The actors had to go through a lot of training. I think they had ballerinas as trainers, so that they
Natalie Portman and same people.
Yeah, and they had to learn how to mimic movements in microgravity. So if you don't show with your muscles that you're not affected by gravity, it's going to ruin the experience. And you see, like, why does it look a bit heavy? Why does it look like she's falling or something?
So, and they had special training for that.
Yeah, they had to undergo special training. They also used a lot of robotic arms.
Mm.
There's a link to a video here. They have a lot of robotic arms that hold the cameras for these shots. The robotic arms are on usually moving platforms.
Mm.
So they're very fluid and a lot more steady compared to if a human was holding it. So it's one way that technology is entering art, that even camera shots have started to become automated nowadays.
Mm. But how was the acting? It's not robotic, I hope.
Yeah.
I have seen the movie, and everything was very well made.
What do you think about, like, the scientific accuracy?
I think you shouldn't be going into that looking for scientific accuracy, because as I've read, like, after the fact, there were a lot of mistakes in terms of physics in space. Like, one of our idols, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, went on a rant on Twitter on all of the wrong things. Like, even I noticed some things that were kind of off.
Uh-huh.
But by the time I noticed them, I just didn't mind anymore. I was willing to give it a lot of slack because I was really transported into space, which is a very important thing. Everyone who's watching our podcast, to our hundreds of thousands of viewers, please watch this movie while it's in the theaters, because the experience will just be different when you finally download or borrow a DVD or Blu-ray legitimately. Like, even if you had a 100-inch TV or a 500-inch projector wall, it still wouldn't be enough. It should be witnessed on screen. The bigger, the better. I guess IMAX would be the ideal.
Yeah, and in 3D.
And in 3D, because, you know, the debris flying into your face is
quite a treat.
Yeah, it's worth the price of the ticket. Like, I want debris flying into my face. I want the experience of that. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch it in 3D. I still might. It's still showing. But I did watch it in Atmos. Mm-hmm. So I heard that the sound was made for this new technology, new Dolby technology, Atmos, where you will really notice when things are coming. The sound is supposed to be from behind you, from a bit to the left or stuff like that. So unfortunately, there's no Atmos
IMAX
3D experience yet, but I hope, you know, it comes soon enough. So that on the technical side, there's nothing to criticize. Like, it's really, you're there in space. The movements are so realistic. You do wonder how it was shot, and in spite of everything that we've talked about on how it was made, when you do see the effect, you will kind of wonder, did they really go there to shoot it? Because, you know, the way the Earth looked from up there, it's really art. Like you said, it's art.
And I'm curious, though, like, what effect would this kind of movie have on aspiring astronauts? Like, would it encourage them? Would it deter them? Because from the trailers, if you've seen them, a disaster happens somewhere in space. So that's a pretty scary thing to happen if you're an astronaut. So I don't know if kids would want to become an astronaut after watching this movie, or would they be scared?
It is kind of cool. Like, if you just watch that scene, those scenes where they were playing around with especially George Clooney's character, when he was playing around in space, like, that was really fun. And that you watch that minute or several minutes of the film, and you would want to be an astronaut. But after that, I don't know. Because I think that's the worst case scenario, what happened there. And it would be pretty rare for that to happen. But I hope it's also a cautionary tale for people in space to double check, triple check things. And
it's like an engineer's worst nightmare. Like, if things fall apart in space, it's all their fault.
Yeah, if science fiction could influence science fact, then hopefully this movie will maybe lower the interest in being an astronaut for a bit, so that the people who take care of these things make sure that it's pretty safe. It's very, very safe, so that they can convince potential astronauts that it's not as dangerous as that movie Gravity. Because a lot of people are seeing this movie. I'm not sure how it is in the Philippines, but I heard it made a killing in the U.S. So, but rate the movie. Scale of 1 to 10.
I would give it, I guess, an 8.5.
You know what? I had the exact same score. The exact same score. Because in terms of the experience, the visceral experience, the being there, you should see this in a movie. Like, reading a book about it, no matter how flowery the language, will not do justice to the kind of visual, sensual experience, but
aesthetic.
But it won't do justice. So from that alone, I'll give it maybe a 10 even. Like, from that alone. But I still watch movies for the story.
Yeah.
For how it influences, how it inspires me. And movies like one of the other nice movies that we saw recently, Racing Thor or
Rush.
Yeah. Is actually better in that regard. It's not bad when it comes to the visceral or visual experience. It's really a beautiful movie as well. But in terms of inspiring me or making me feel things, I think that takes the prize.
I think it's more of the setting, because I think this is the first good movie I've seen that's in microgravity. And it's executed very well.
This will be the standard.
Yeah.
This will be the standard. And I'm sure if they set other movies in space, they're going to consult with the people who worked on Gravity. And it's just a shame, I think, that the people who made Gravity, or at least the special effects crew, didn't work on another movie that's coming up, Ender's Game.
Oh.
And that's, whether you watch that or not, despite all of the anti-LGBT
mess.
But that's another topic for another podcast. Maybe because it's showing on in November, right? Maybe
next month.
Maybe next month we'll do a podcast on it. So for our next topic, we'll talk about Bitcoin. So what is Bitcoin before we get into the whole discussion about it?
Okay, Bitcoin is a virtual currency, meaning there's no actual coins. That's the name Bitcoin. It exists only in bits or ones and zeros in a computer digital representation form. So these coins are generated at a steady rate, at a predictable rate, which makes their value a lot more stable. There's no central bank that issues Bitcoin or increases the money supply of Bitcoin.
So it can't be arbitrarily increased.
So for people to get Bitcoin, they have to mine Bitcoin, which involves having their computer do a lot of processing to solve this some problem, which gives you a very long string and gives you Bitcoin in return. And Bitcoin mining is not as easy as it sounds. Like,
so you need equipment for
you. For it to be cost effective, you need to have like specialized graphics cards that have been repurposed. Just for mining Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So,
but you can buy Bitcoin from someone else if you don't have the equipment.
Yeah. Right now there are people who do buy and sell Bitcoin.
So, So what is the purpose of this? It's a form of currency, right? But what makes it different from money or from PayPal or any of those other ways that we transact online? Because this is primarily online as well, Bitcoin. Yeah.
One of the interesting features of Bitcoin is that you can make transactions anonymously. Meaning you just have your Bitcoin account and then you make a transaction. At the end of the transaction, nobody needs to know what your actual name is or where you actually live, but the transfer has been made. It's secure, but it's anonymous at the same
time. So it's pseudonymous. You have, that is your, like your identity is your Bitcoin address. And you can pass your Bitcoin address to someone else. It's like a, it's like a wallet in the sense that who has the wallet can spend the money. So who has the address can spend the money that's in there.
Yeah.
And no one needs to know identities. Now these transacting anonymously, like when you speak about it like that, it immediately brings into mind the application of criminal or illegal activities, which is why we are even talking about Bitcoin in the first place. Something happened.
Recently there was the Silk Road, which is an underground black market. A digital black market has been raided, and they seized, was it $3 million, around $3 million worth of Bitcoin from that black market.
From that black market. Yeah. What do they sell in this black market?
They usually sell drugs. They also sell hits, meaning there are hitmen.
There are hitmen.
Yes.
Maybe and weapons as well.
I guess.
Everything,
yeah.
Everything.
A lot of the stuff that would not be allowed on the normal.
Like those marketplace. Extreme forms of pornography.
Yeah.
Like ponies and any of the. Anything that you can think of. Rule 34.
Yeah.
Like, if you can think of it, they sell it there. That kind of porn there. So they raided it. And primarily because of the drug transactions that happened. And they found out who the person who ran it was. They took all of his Bitcoin and stored it in their own account. They now own the address for the Bitcoin that that person owned. And Silk Road is still up, or it's been shut down. Of course, it's been shut down. He's not running it anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that someone will eventually replace
take its place.
Yeah, because there's a market for it, and therefore there will be someone to replace that guy. So is it worth it, knowing that these kinds of things will be possible, like illegal transactions that can actually harm people? Don't never mind the legality. Like, is it still worth it to have this kind of technology?
I'm actually on the fence about this kind of technology. I mean, I am for certain apps that allow for anonymity.
Yeah.
For example, there are apps that allow you to anonymously collaborate with, for example, your coworkers if you're unhappy with the way they're treating you at your current job because you don't want to speak out by yourself and risk getting fired. So you first want to, like, know if your other coworkers feel the same way, and anonymously you can start that group and then start like a union.
Yeah.
And there's also apps for consumer vigilance, for making sure that these companies sell their products truthfully. Like, if consumers find out that some companies are working, are selling products that they lie about, then they can anonymously rise up with some other consumers and then build a movement. And once they get enough people, that's when they show themselves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anonymity has its place.
Yeah.
But what's problematic about Bitcoin is that it's a transaction that is not really it's not traceable, that there's a loss of accountability. for these kinds of things, I'm not sure if they're justified.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of another technology, mm-hmm. like WikiLeaks, mm-hmm. right? Could be used for good, like when abuses of government authority are done, but it could be used for bad things as well, when national security is actually threatened. Mm-hmm. So I understand why you're on the fence. I guess it's just technology, like mm-hmm. computers themselves can be used for hacking or stealing people's identity or cyberbullying someone, but there is good there. So I guess it will be up to the people how they use it, and there should be measures though that safeguard even these anonymous transactions. I do not know how that would work, because once you have the measures that would put traces in supposedly untraceable transactions, then what's the point? So I don't know. I haven't tried Bitcoin. I don't have actual money to buy Bitcoins yet. But it is interesting. There is a growing market for it. I think on their website it says there are around 60,000 users. I don't remember how they measured that, but it's quite a lot. Like even for the limited number of Bitcoins in existence. So I think that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching us, and do watch Gravity and Rush, but not
at the same time.
Okay. Bye.